with your love and your grace and your mercy. And Lord, I'm mindful this morning of David and Carla as David approaches end of life for him. I just ask that you watch over them. And Lord, we thank you for your Spirit and how your Spirit abides with us and within us. And so help us to be attentive to him today as we learn about him. We love you so, Jesus, and pray this in your name. Amen. Paige, you good back there? Thank you. I want to share with you this morning about a person in your life. As a matter of fact, this person has known about you before you knew about you. This person has been keenly listening to your heart, and just at the right moment throughout your lifetime, he has whispered things to your heart. And in fact, this person has coached, convicted, and conveyed to your spirit your profound need for him, for Jesus, and also for the Heavenly Father in your life. And he has patiently waited for you to acknowledge him. He's been with you every place you've ever gone. He'll be with you every place you're ever going to be. And in fact, because of some places that we've gone, he has grieved over our behaviors. But in the same way, because of your relationship with him, he has rejoiced because you have listened to him and not followed through on what you thought you should or should not do. And for some of us, he is such a person that he has given us peace in a situation or circumstance in which there should be no logical conclusion for peace, but yet peace is there. Some of you are profoundly aware of this person. And this next statement alarmed me the first time I heard it, and I hope that maybe some of you will take it to heart what I'm about to say. Some of you would have no idea if he left your life. Any idea what his name is? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. He is the Holy Spirit. As we tap into our Galatians 5 study, we're going to be in Galatians 5:16 today. As we go from Galatians 5:16, we're going to ask two questions out of Galatians 5:16. So if you got your Bibles, you can go to Galatians 5:16. And the Bible says here, we're still in Galatians, of course. We're going to still going through Galatians. So the Bible says, so I say, live by the what? Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And so as we talk about the Holy Spirit, it only makes sense that there's some of us in this room may not know who the Holy Spirit is, may not even have an idea who he is. Matter of fact, as I talk about the Holy Spirit, some of you from generations past still call him the Holy Ghost. And I'm talking to a man this week about the Holy Spirit, and he calls the Holy Spirit the Holy Ghost. And as a kid growing up, I hated that word. You know why? Scared me. I didn't like to talk about ghosts. But the Holy Spirit is something that comes to my mind when I think of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to answer two questions today. Here's the two questions we're going to answer today. If you're following along your bulletin outline, you can figure that out. Question number one, we're going to answer, who is the Holy Spirit? And that's on the front of your bulletin. You'll see that as well. And why do I need him? Next Sunday, Steve is preaching in the sermon series called All About Heaven. And then the Sunday after that, we're going to answer two more questions. How do I get to have the Holy Spirit in my life? And how do I walk in step with the Holy Spirit? That's in 2 weeks, okay? And so we've come to this point in Galatians 5:16 where Paul is admonishing the Galatian church to live by who? The Holy Spirit. Now, it would make it entirely difficult to walk with somebody you've never met. And so today we want to introduce you to the person, the Holy Spirit. So here it is. Number one is, who is the Holy Spirit? Okay? So let's say, for example, I met Norman and Darlene for the first time. Okay? So someone will say, hey, Norman, I'm Jeff. You already know my name. Okay, here we go. And you're Darlene, right? Okay. So Norman and Darlene, I introduce myself to them, right? Or they introduce themselves to me. So what if I start doing this? So Darlene, how long have you been married to it? You've been married to it 60 years? Okay. Did it have more hair then? Okay. How did you meet it?
High school.
High school. Okay. Now, as you consider me talking about Norman, does it seem proper to refer to him as an it? Guess what we do oftentimes with the Holy Spirit? We call him an it. Okay, I'm sure Norman's been called worse things than its. But none of us like to be called an it, because when we call someone an it, we're not truly doing what? Being respectful, we're not acknowledging, we're not actually describing that person personhood. Okay? So whenever you hear someone say something like, well, what is the Holy Spirit? Correct them. They say, no, wait a minute. It's actually, who's the Holy Spirit? What? What do you mean? Well, see, I'm about to give you a sermon outline you can stick in your Bible, so when you come across someone who does not recognize the personhood of the Holy Spirit, you can pull this out and share with them who the Holy Spirit is. So number one is this. The Holy Spirit is a person. Let's say that together. The Holy Spirit is a person. So what does the Bible tell us about the Holy Spirit being a person? In fact, let's go to the greatest source ever. What does Jesus say about the Holy Spirit? All right? So if you follow along in your outline, you're going to see we're going to go right into a John 14 passage. The Bible says in John 14, 16 to 17, Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you be with you forever. What's his name? The Spirit of Truth. And so as you look at Jesus acknowledging the Holy Spirit, Jesus says the Holy Spirit is an advocate. Okay, I probably should have capitalized that. What does an advocate do for you? Speaks for you, speaks on your behalf, okay? He's for you. That's what an advocate is. Excuse me. He's also known as supporter, encourager, comforter, because some translations translate it as those three other things as well. And whose nature is what? The Holy Spirit's nature is always what? Truth. He's always of truth, okay? So we keep looking at what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit. We look at also in John 14 again. John 14, 17. It says, the world cannot accept him. It's a pronoun, him, okay? So that tells me Jesus says the Holy Spirit is a him. Can't be an it. It's a him, okay? So we keep looking at what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit. I'll look again in John 14, 17. You know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. So Jesus says the Holy Spirit is a person that we know, and he lives with us. And what else? He lives in us. Okay, he lives in us. Now, this next part really convicted me as a younger Christian years ago and continues to convict me. It's out of Ephesians. It's Ephesians 4, verse 30. The Bible says, let's read this together. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. This tells me something about the personhood of the Holy Spirit. Can it grieve? No. Holy Spirit can grieve. That tells me he is a person. So as I think about the Holy Spirit, as a person living within us and with us, the Holy Spirit can be grieved by our behaviors. Now, some might be saying, now, wait a minute, preacher. I've known plenty of its in my life that have supported me, encouraged me, and comforted me, and I called it a him or her, and I know that thing quite well. I hear that. But wait a minute. Jesus says the Holy Spirit lives where? Within us. So that means he is a companion, okay? So that tells me that if you try to call something an it that's inside you, you've actually been stabbed by something or have an infection. Okay? Holy Spirit's neither of those. He is a person. All right? So maybe at this point you're thinking about something. Okay, wait a minute, preacher. I haven't always acknowledged the Holy Spirit as a vital person to my life. I'm actually not even acknowledging him as a person at all. So think about this, church. What could happen today, right now, if you acknowledge the Holy Spirit as a person vital to your life? What could happen if you did that? So we put a prayer in the sermon outline, and there's also going to be a prayer on the screen. And I just want to read this to you and hear this, okay? Holy Spirit, Jesus sent you as a vital person for my life. Forgive me for not acknowledging you as the person Jesus wants in my life to be my helper, comforter, and advocate. What if this morning we paused right now and just did that? The next part of our journey in regard to who is the Holy Spirit, we're now looking at this context, is that the Holy Spirit is God. Let's say that together. The Holy Spirit is God. So you think about the attributes of God, there are several things we need to ask before we get to this point. And here's a unique question I have for you this morning. This it is. Listen up. When were you? Can you answer that question? When were you? Ah, great question. When was what? When were you? That's what? When was I what? You. When were you? How would you answer that question? Oh, yeah. So you were you when you were born, conceived. Excellent point. Love it, Kay. So let me ask this question. When was God? God was always. God is always and always will be. So does God have a birthday? God does not have a birthday, okay? And so think about this concept. God has no beginning and end. So when was Holy Spirit? He's always. Holy Spirit has always been. So, preacher, where are you getting at? Well, look at this. We know we're people. We're finite. We like things on a line. We like beginnings and ends, and we have middles too. So if you look at the beginning of human history, we can see something here, all right? It says, in the beginning, God created the sky and the earth. This is Genesis 1, 1 through 2. The earth was empty and had no form. Darkness covered the ocean. Say these next two words for me. And God's Spirit was moving over the water. So in the human timeline of history, who was there? The Spirit was there. God was there, true, but it says the Spirit was there. And so since the Holy Spirit was there with God in the beginning, it means that the Holy Spirit was there before the beginning of heaven and earth. And this can only mean that the Spirit has no beginning and end. So since the Spirit has no beginning or end, just like God, the Holy Spirit must be who? Holy Spirit must be God. So, let me ask this next question. Where is God? Where is God? Everywhere. He is absolutely everywhere. Okay? Where is Spirit? He's everywhere. And look at Psalm 139, Psalm 139, 7, 8. Can you ask the first question in this text with me? Here we go. Ready? Where can I go to get away from your Spirit? Where can I run from you? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I lie down in the grave, you are there. Can you get away from the Holy Spirit? That tells me he's where? He's everywhere. So he has the same character trait of God, which is omnipresence, which means he's everywhere. So since the Holy Spirit can be everywhere, just like God, the Holy Spirit is God. I keep reading. Now, Deb had mentioned during our worship time that we've had young people immersed. Do you realize since the fall we've had 8 people immersed into Christ here at Sheridan? 8 people immersed into Christ, and I believe over half of those have been older Christians. Older people have come to Christ. So I've always appreciated when older folks recognize something. But Jesus says something when he left the earth in Matthew 28. Do you know why we say what we say when we baptize people? You know, why do we say that? Well, because Jesus told us to. All right? So if you look at Matthew 28, he says, go and make followers of all people in the world, baptize them in the name of, say it with me, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We do that. Jesus told us to do that whenever we immerse people in the Christ. Now, there's something you need to know about that statement. Who is speaking in Matthew 28? Who? Jesus is speaking, okay? If you had read that in your Bible, that would be read. So Jesus is placing himself in the same sentence as two other people. Who are they? Father, God, and the Holy Spirit. And as Jesus does that, he's saying the Father, God, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all what? Equal. They're all equal. So Jesus is saying that the Holy Spirit, just like himself, is equal to and is God. And so here's a thought. Maybe that's a revelation for you this morning. I haven't always acknowledged the Holy Spirit as God. I've been around people who've said that the Holy Spirit is just an energy. That the Holy Spirit is just a movement of God. No, the Holy Spirit is God. And so maybe today a question could be to, in your mind, Holy Spirit, I can see in the Bible that you have all the qualities of God, which means you are my God. How do you want that knowledge to affect me? What if you took a moment just right now to acknowledge the Holy Spirit as God, maybe through that question? Just take a moment. As we continue in our journey about who is Holy Spirit, the next thing we're going to ask the question is, why do I need the Holy Spirit? Why do I need the Holy Spirit? Can I ask you a question? I know we've asked a lot of questions, but I just want your opinion on something. I just want your opinion on this one topic that sometimes kind of perplexes me. What is your opinion on air? What's your opinion on air? Oh, you need it. Someone said you need it? Okay. So you would say that you need air. Is that your opinion, Tim? Did I hear you say that? You need air? Okay. Yeah. Okay. You need air. Okay. Do you have any feelings as to whether or not you need air or not? It's what? You got some feelings if you don't have it? You sure do. That's exactly right. Yeah. Okay. Have you ever heard someone teach and preach that you don't need air? I haven't either. It just seems to be common sense to me. Okay. Let me ask this other question. Do you have a strong like or dislike for air? I'm for it. You're all for it? Thank you. I'm too. I have a strong like for air. Have you ever been taught how you get air? I haven't been taught how to get air. Now, I started breathing as soon as I came out of the womb, that's for sure. Okay, and that, you heard that joke, right? That I was born and I was so ugly they slapped my mom. Anyway, why do we ask these questions? Why? Well, at this point you're probably thinking, Jeff, that's probably the dumbest thing I've ever heard anybody ask as a preacher. It is, it's a dumb question, I get it. Okay, are you still in Galatians? Are you still in Galatians? Okay. I'm going to jump ahead with you in Galatians. We're going to go back to it eventually. But if you look in Galatians, specifically Galatians 5:25, look at what the text says in Galatians 5:25. Okay, the Bible says this in 5:25. Since we live by the Spirit. Since, not if, but what? Since we live by the Spirit. That's pretty bold words. Since we live by the Spirit. Paul is making a truth statement here. A truth statement. Now, some could look at that text, Bible scholars or whatever, they say, wait a minute, preacher. He's talking about a code of conduct, that Christians should live by a code of conduct by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that what he's talking about? Yes, that's exactly what he's talking about. But could it also be that Paul is also talking about life and death? Since I live by the Holy Spirit. What's the opposite of live by the Holy Spirit? What is it? Die without the Holy Spirit. That's the antithesis of it. Since I live by the Holy Spirit and die, then that means I would die without the Holy Spirit. So think about this. What does Paul really mean when he says live by the Spirit? Now, I like looking up the original language. That's something I'm a scholar in my mind I like to do. The original language in the New Testament is written almost always in Greek. And the Greek word for live in that particular context is zeo. Okay? Zeo. And so I want to just give you a rendition of the definition I found on Blue Letter Bible. By the way, it's an app you can get in your iPhone, Android. It's an app, or you can also find your computer. Blue Letter Bible, this is a definition they have for the word zeo in live. Okay, here it is. To live, breathe, or be among the living. Anybody here among the living today? If you're not, please raise your hand. Okay, we got one in the back. Sorry you're dead. All right. Zeo, to live by the Spirit means to enjoy what kind of life? Real life. to have true life and worthy of the name, active, blessed, endless in the kingdom of God. We're going to keep going. The definition is broad and expansive. It means to live. The opposite is to die. Okay? Here it is again. Living water having vital power in itself and exerting the same upon the soul. We're going to keep going. To be in full vigor. Wow. How many want to be full vigor tomorrow morning when the alarm goes off? Okay? Full vigor to be fresh, strong, efficient. There are days I want to be fresh and strong. And at the end of the day, I ask myself, was I ever efficient? But I know something, because if I live in by the Spirit, I am fresh and strong and efficient. I also look active, power. Help me with that word. Efficacious? Did I say that right? Efficacious? I'm not sure what that means, but bubbly? So let me ask you a question. When we talk about living by the Spirit, the one that appeals to me the most is to be to live and be among the living. Because that tells me without the Holy Spirit, where am I? I'm among the dead. I need the Holy Spirit. Would you agree with that, church? It's written in yellow in your bulletin, so you can take it home and maybe pronounce it out loud. I need the Holy Spirit to live. If you agree with that, can you say it with me? I need the Holy Spirit to live. Amen. I do need the Holy Spirit to live. Now, this is not a forced conclusion for us. There's more about the Holy Spirit than just living. Isn't that great that we have this person inside us? There's more to the Holy Spirit than just simply living, okay? The next part of the Bible says this, that the Holy Spirit creates. The Holy Spirit creates. There are several verses listed in the Bible. You look these up later, but I'm going to put them on the screen for you. Remember in Genesis 1:2, the Spirit of God was where? In the beginning, where? Hovering over the waters. Or the void, some says in some translations. Remember the New Testament? It says that Mary was found to be a child by who? The Holy Spirit. It also says as well in Psalm 104, when you send your Spirit, they are what? The Holy Spirit creates. He's a creative person. He's a creative individual. Have you ever thought, man, things are really dead in my life? Have you thought about asking the Holy Spirit to create something? Because he's there doing that. He's a creative person. Here's the next one. The Holy Spirit resurrects. Now, in Romans 8:11, it's not going to be on your screen. It's going to be in your Bible. In Romans 8:11, I love what the Bible says here in Romans 8:11. If you got it, you're welcome to go there, but I'm going to read it to you. I want you to listen. Okay? And it says, if the Spirit of Him, that's God, the Spirit of Him, the Holy Spirit, who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. So guess who raised Jesus from the dead? The Holy Spirit. He did that. You ever thought your life was dead? Yeah, me either. Then ask the Holy Spirit to resurrect your life. Because that's what He does. He's in the business of resurrection. Let me ask you something. How long can you live in eternity with a dead body? You can't. The only way you can live in eternity is you have a new body, and guess who's going to give you that? Jesus, that's true, but the Holy Spirit is going to give you a resurrected body. I'm amazed by that. The Holy Spirit seals us for redemption. The Holy Spirit seals us for redemption. Now, redemption, that's a tough word sometimes. I don't always know what that means, but the New Century Translation says this about redemption. And do not make the Holy Spirit sad. The Spirit is God's proof that you belong to Him. God gave you the Spirit to show that God will make you free when the final day comes. You see, God's mark on your life is what person? Holy Spirit. Friends, you cannot hope to inherit eternity unless you have who marking you? The Holy Spirit. That's not going to happen. You will not be destined for heaven unless you have the Holy Spirit. That's what redemption is. Redemption says He sealed you, redeemed you, and the only way you're going to get to heaven is through a mark of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's that seal. So, what have we learned today? Ready? From the top. Here it is. The Holy Spirit is what? A person. The Holy Spirit is who? God. And who needs the Holy Spirit? I do. I need the Holy Spirit to live. Okay? And finally, the Holy Spirit creates, the Holy Spirit resurrects, and the Holy Spirit seals us for redemption. So here's a thought. There could be some of you today who haven't even thought of some of these aspects. And there's a lot of things that we just threw at you all at once. That's why we have a sermon outline so you can take it home and study it there. But maybe there's just one aspect of the Holy Spirit that He wants you to connect with Him in the next 24 hours. Listen, church, this is what I've learned. In my own life, in my own the way I've learned things in my life, if I don't apply something I've learned in the first 24 hours, I will have forgot it. I will have forgot it. So here's a prayer. Holy Spirit, I've learned a lot about you today. In the next 24 hours, would you impress upon my heart what I need to know the most from you at this point in my life? So let's just go to the Lord for a minute and seek Him, specifically the Holy Spirit. Jesus, we love you. We thank you that in John 14, you tell us that you sent the Spirit to be an advocate, an encourager, a supporter. And so, Spirit, we've talked about you a lot today. We've sang to you. We've looked at God's word about you. And maybe there's something in the next 24 hours, Spirit, you want us to know more than anything else about you, to impress upon us something we haven't considered before. Spirit, we're so grateful that you create, resurrect, and redeem. We love you so and pray this in your name. Amen. Hey, if you don't mind staying with me, we're going to have our closing song. And if there's someone here who doesn't know Jesus, let's talk after church. Love to talk with you.